When I lived in Illinois years ago, I had a garden. And each spring, about this time, I would take a Saturday morning and go out and plant in the garden. And so there I was one Saturday morning, carefully planting seeds into the ground when one of the neighbor kids show up, a little kid, about six maybe, by the name of Scott. Now, Scott asked me what I was doing, as kids will do, and I responded that I was planting seeds, and I would stick the seed in the ground and said, this will grow into a tomato plant, or a zucchini plant, or a pepper plant. And Scott, who knew everything, by the way, said, so tomorrow you will have tomatoes and peppers and zucchini, right? And I said, well, no, not tomorrow. It'll take a week or so for the seed to sprout. We come back in a week and you'll see little seedlings. And Scott said, well, why does it take so long for your plants to grow? And I told him that all seeds take a while to sprout. You can't put them in the ground and have them come up the very next day. And he said, well, of course you can. That's what happened with my seed. What do you mean? He said, well, I planted an apple seed yesterday, and today there's an apple tree. Well, you know, I said, well, that's nice, Scott. My seeds don't grow that way. And I sent him on his way, but later that afternoon I went over and his father was working in the yard, and I said, John, I need to ask you something about Scott. And I told him this little exchange, and he said, well, actually, it's true. He did plant an apple seed, and a tree came up the very next day. But you can blame his grandpa for that. You see, he said, Grandpa and Scott were out on the back patio eating apples, and Grandpa said to Scott that the apples they were eating were magic apples, and that if he planted the core of his apple, it would grow into a tree the next day. And so Scott got a little trowel and dug a little hole in the ground and stuck his apple core in there and went to bed that night he couldn't wait till he could get up and see his apple tree. Meanwhile, Grandpa went out to the nursery and bought a 6 foot high apple sapling, planted it right where that apple core had been planted, and sure enough, when Scott got up in the morning, there was instant apple tree. We grandpas will do those sorts of things, right, Andrew? My grandson is up there in the balcony. I will admit that there have been times over this past year that I wish that building projects could be done the same way. That I could leave in the evening and come back in the morning and find it completed. But of course, it doesn't work that way. Building projects, I have learned, take time and effort, planning and execution, hard work and hard faith. And so, not instantly, but finally, we are here dedicating our new building addition, our remodeled CE wing, our improved fire and safety installations in this area, our new parking lot area. We are here to say a lot of thank yous, the specifics of which I will leave for later in the dedication service, but still, let me generally call out my thank yous to the building project team who shepherded this project during the last year and made the tough decisions when they had to be made on how things should proceed. I want to thank the furnishings committee for the work they did in getting furniture for our new areas. I want to thank all of those of you who spent time cleaning, painting, repairing, and doing all the things that needed to get done after the construction part finished. You made the place look great, and it does. I want to thank the session and the elders who have served over the past several years for their vision and their steady hand in guiding the church through all this effort. I want to thank the committees, the deacons, the various organizations of the church, and all the people who had to adapt their church life and who had to creatively make do with all the mess and the confusion and lack of space. I really want to particularly thank our staff who rolled with the punches and joyfully took on the burden of working in difficult circumstances. Lisa and Susan Tennant, caring for our children in a temporary nursery. Linda Lemity working out of a temporary secretary's office downstairs. Heather Hicks working without an office at all. Lynn Meyer and Earl putting together music without an organ and adjusting choir rehearsals for a period of time. Barb Klingman, who not only managed our regular finances, but took on the extra burden of managing the finances of the building project. And I want to especially thank all of them. I want to thank our contractor, Altman Construction, for doing a great job, for your sensitivity in keeping the church working as best as possible during this past year. I want to thank SEM Architects for their work in designing this wonderful addition that grew out of a master plan they developed as well. I want to thank our joyful giving team that put together the resources so we could do all this. And all those people who gave to the project and continue to give to this project as we complete it. And I guess it would be appropriate to go back to the team that did Discover, Dream, Do a decade ago, which planted the seeds for this project. It is their work as well. Seeds that didn't grow instantly, but took many years to come to fruit. And we couldn't quite make the project go instantly and be instantly done as of this morning, as of this dedication date, although all these people that I've mentioned made a mighty effort. The parking lot is done, but we need to let it cure a little bit. The elevator is expected to be completed sometime. The landscaping still needs to be done. There's a lot of little here and there things to be done. We have furniture to acquire and to move in. We've got stuff to move out of the annex. We got a lot to do with that, yeah. But I've learned that building projects are like that. There's always a rush to get things done by some preset time. In our own history, when this sanctuary was built in 1913, there was such a rush to get finished that they were varnishing pews the night before. The story is told, Sherry, if I get this right, the story is told that the ladies of the choir in particular found that their dresses were sticking to the pews when they stood up to sing. It's just the way things are sometimes. But then when you think about it, building projects are never really done, are they? They have a way of spawning new projects. We put in a new floor in the blue room. Wasn't part of our original thoughts, but we felt we needed a new floor so the kids to play on. And then you look at the floor and say, maybe the walls need to be painted. And so the walls get painted. You do this in your own homes, right? Same way with the church, isn't it? The building project that was First Presbyterian Church started in 1829 and hasn't stopped since. We may not have always been in this building. We may not have always had these office spaces or classroom spaces. Sometimes we were actively building those spaces. Sometimes we were just readjusting them and adapting to them. But all the time we were building the church. We were building the body of Christ. Our task today is no different than it was yesterday or last year or last century. Our task is to build up the body of Christ, to build ourselves up as disciples of Christ. be the church in Westerville and the world. We have been building this church for 188 plus years, and we will be building Christ Church in Westerville for years to come. This is an unfinished project, and it will continue to be so. The fact that we are dedicating ourselves now is only better seen that we are not quite done, because the work of Christ Church is never quite done. One thing I have done over the course of this project is to take pictures, lots of pictures, pictures of the progress of this project. If you go downstairs, you'll see some of them posted, some of them put in a slideshow. I invite you to see those. I've taken pictures of various things from various vantage points, and one of the things I noticed while I was walking around the church trying to get different pictures, that is, if you stand in the city parking lots back there, you actually have to look up to see our church. Our church is built on slightly higher ground than the rest of the block. You know, I've read where in the olden days, when they built churches in small villages that were settled, they would pick the highest point in town and build the church there. I don't know if that's what happened in Westerville. I don't know if this is the highest spot in town, but it's the highest spot on the block. And so I stand there in the new city parking lots, those were only done a couple years ago, looking at our new south entrance of the church. And I realize I'm looking up at that. Looking up at that. Jesus told his followers in the Sermon on the Mount that they are a city on a hill. We are the church on a hill. He said, you're to let your light shine, not to hide it. Well, our light is right there. The vision of our building is right there. My hope is that this community will always look up to this church and look up to the work that this church is doing for Christ. And to do that, we have to keep building this church for Christ. Amen.